Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
It's exciting and, at the same time, a little daunting. After all, buying a car is one of the largest purchases you'll ever make. There are so many choices. How do you make the right decision? Well, Jack Gillis has been rating cars and providing that kind of information to consumers for over 30 years. He's the author of the Car Book, and he's the Director of Public Affairs for the Consumer Federation of America. Jack, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Well, thank you very much, Shirley.
It's been delightful following you and how this book has developed and the really essential information that you have in there. Just give our listeners a little overview.
Well, there's two things. First of all, buying a car, as you say, is very difficult because it's a very complex product. And what we've tried to do is make it very simple to find out the information you need to know. We've boiled down the crash test to a simple rating. We've given you maintenance data, warranty data, how much it's going to cost to insure, and, of course, the all-important fuel economy data. And everything is laid out so that you can easily look up the various cars you're interested in. Plus, we've rated the cars in these categories, and we've included complaints in that category to determine which are the best bets for the year.
Yeah, and I love that. I have to tell you, I bought a Chevy Traverse, and that was actually right before you came out with the rating of it. And it's right up there.
Well, you
I
made
love
a
it.
Good choice, Shirley.
I did. I love it. You know, it's just really wonderful. And when you talk about the repair record, you know, that is, to me, is such an important thing because you can spend a ton of money. I haven't had to do anything to my car.
Well, the good news is warranties are getting better and better.
Yeah.
Manufacturers are competing with each other, and they're offering better and better warranties. But it's very important to figure out how much it's going to cost you after that warranty expires. And what we've done in the car book is we've done two things. One, we've outlined the preventative maintenance costs. That's what it's going to cost you just to follow the recommended schedule. And then taken 9 typical repairs that you're likely to experience after your warranty expires and help you compare those costs. And there's some big differences in the vehicles out there.
Now, what are some of those typical things that you would factor into the 9?
Well, we looked at a number of factors, including simple things like brake pads, headlamps, the fuel pump, starter, muffler, things that you would likely experience failing after the warranty expires.
The more likely things that you need to have done. And hopefully you don't have to have any of them done. So, yes, right. Okay, so you start out by doing research. I guess, is it first essential that people decide, you have to establish a budget?
Well, you have to establish a budget, and you also have to think about what kind of car you want.
Okay, why do you want a new car? For what purpose, I guess?
For what purpose? What kinds of things do you do? What is your budget, not only in terms of how much you think you can afford, but how much can you afford to pay for things like gasoline?
True.
The bigger the car, typically the more expensive it's going to cost you to run around. On the other hand, if you're like me and you have 4 kids, you need a big car.
Right.
So you have to force yourself through some of those trade-offs. And the very first step that I recommend people take is make sure you test drive the vehicle. Your experience, Shirley, of renting a car before you actually bought it is really a great idea, especially if you're debating between 2 or 3 models.
Mm-hmm.
It's well worth a weekend rental just to be sure that that's going to meet your needs. And one of the things, one of the biggest mistakes we do make is we don't take a good long test drive.
Right. Well, I tell you, Jack, it was purely by accident that I drove this vehicle. I had no intention of getting rid of my little Mercury Sable. I loved it. But it was getting old. It was 11 years old, and I have to confess, we went on a trip, and we, purely by accident, rented a Chevy Traverse. And I drove through a snowstorm in that vehicle, and I have never felt more comfortable. And I came back here, and I said, well, I'm not going to buy a car just because I drove it once. I'm going to go out and look at the other SUVs, because at that point, I decided I liked the feel of a bigger car. So I looked and looked and looked. I tried them. I tried to see which ones fit me. It all came back to my first love.
Well, and what you did was so important because you found a car you felt comfortable
mm-hmm.
in. And that's a very important factor in terms of your own personal safety. You hear about high-performance cars, but many of us would not feel comfortable in a beautiful, high-performance BMW.
No, if they sit down on the ground, you'd have to get a crane to get me out.
That, or maybe the power or the speed is just actually too much, even though it's great. So it's really important to take that good long test drive. So many of us have complaints about our cars after we get them home. Can't really see when you back out of the driveway. You can't get it in and out of your garage easily. It's hard to get the kids in and out of the back. So it's really important to take that test drive. And when you're doing that, do not talk to the dealer about price. You're just looking for
do it first, huh?
Check it out first. Say, listen, I don't know what I want to buy. I just want to test drive a few of the cars. Because the first thing they want to do is size you up and figure out how much they can get from you.
Right, right. So look at the car. Decide that's what you want. Then go back and do all your research on terms of cost, what you might expect to pay, what your options are. Look, I did a lot of research online. I went to various dealerships that had this vehicle listed. I put in the things that I wanted on it. I knew what I wanted. I knew I wanted the sunroofs, and I knew I wanted the backup mirror, camera, and things like that. And you can put that into the computer and find vehicles that meet that and where they are located. And I found one that was here, and I went to a dealership, and there we go.
Well, and that's really, really what one of the benefits of the internet is for us.
Oh, boy,
there's
yes.
such a tremendous amount of information out there. The second thing you want to do is your research on your financing.
Mm-hmm.
Check with your credit union. Check with your bank. See what kind of deal they will give you before you go into the dealership. Now, the dealership financing may actually be a better deal.
Sure.
But you won't know that unless you've done the research to figure out what you can get on your own.
Right. You know, we don't buy cars that often. So it is, as I said in the opening, it is a daunting experience.
It is very daunting, and it is primarily because of what you said. We don't do
we
it
don't.
On.
No.
And we're matching wits with a seasoned professional who day in and day out, their job is to sell these cars to you and get as much money as possible for
and
them.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, this
nothing
is the marketplace. Exactly. We just have to know how it works and be prepared to deal with it. So
you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think one of the steps that I recommend is to remember that you have the most important tool in negotiation. The dealer needs you more than you need them.
Yep.
So always remember, if you're not being treated with respect, if you're not getting the deal that you want, you have the 180-degree turn. And I guarantee you, you won't get halfway to the door before they pull you back and meet your needs.
That 180-degree turn is a pretty useful
yes.
tool, I will tell you. Well, and the other thing to me that was important was to evaluate the dealership and think, do I want to bring my car back here for service?
Well, you know, Shirley, remember, you can buy a car at dealer A
and go
get
to dealer A.
Get B for service. So it's important to really get the best price you can. Some of the dealers in various markets now are doing something called one-price dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
And you go in and the price is the price. We think that's a great thing because it takes out of that experience, all of the negotiation,
you know what you're dealing with. Let's just take a brief pause to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker, and my guest is Jack Gillis, and we're talking about buying cars, and we're going to talk about used cars a little later. Right now, we're focusing on new cars. So, yes, as you said, that can be useful to the consumer because that's the bottom line, that you don't have to negotiate. You know what it is. They're also buying services. Washington Checkbook has a car bargains where they'll shop for you and get comparison prices. You can save a lot of money by doing things like this.
You certainly can. And the big question that you have to ask yourself is, are you up for really negotiating? It's a hard thing to do.
We don't do a lot of that
we
in this country.
We don't do much of it at all. We somewhat feel intimidated. And that's why we like the car bargain service, because what car bargains will do for you is they will contact 5 or 6 dealers in your area, no matter where you live in the country, and get those dealers to bid against each other for the sale of the car to you.
Yep.
And then you can look at all the prices and go to the guy that has the lowest price. And that's hard to do on your own because the first dealer is simply going to say, well, why don't you go find another price and come back and I'll try to match it. No, I want a price from you. I want your best price, and then I'll go check out
that's
the other
right.
price. So it's a hard thing to negotiate, and that's why we like car bargains. And it's also why we like the one-price dealership because
mm-hmm.
you take all of that away and you can focus on making sure you're making the smartest, safest, best purchase.
Right, and the car you really want.
Right.
And, you know, what you said about backing up and the vision, the line of vision, you know, that is so critical. If you're going to test drive a car, you should test drive it on the main highway, in the neighborhood, parking it, going in and out of small parking spots and parking garages. Those are all things that you're going to be faced with every single day, and you want to make sure that car fits you.
And you're so right. And one of the problems we have is when we take it out for a test drive, we usually have the salesperson sitting next to us.
And we go zooming up the highway.
We just go around the block. Because it's such an awkward, uncomfortable thing. But force yourself to do it, or as we said earlier, think about renting a car.
Well, renting it to me is the ideal choice. If you can find one that you want and you can rent that vehicle and drive it for a day, it's worth the investment to do that. It's certainly, Jack, I had never thought I would buy an SUV. Never. But after I got through driving that Traverse, I just fell in love, you know? It's like my husband. I'm with him forever.
I hope his warranty is holding up.
It is. but it is, and I was not planning on buying a car. So that was the interesting thing to me. And then, of course, that comes to the big question, do you trade in your used car or do you sell it yourself?
That is a good question. And to answer that question, the best thing to do is determine how much that car is worth. That information is readily available on the internet. Kelly's Blue Book, NADA, has sources. So you can just look up your car and see how much it's worth. You'll get two prices. You'll get a price that you'll get paid for that car, and you get a price that you could sell it for. So you think to yourself, well, there's a $500 difference. Is it really worth it to me to put an ad in the paper, to have people come over? Maybe not. If there was a $3,000 difference, maybe it would be.
Right.
So you can make that decision. But know that if you do trade it in, you'll get less money for it than if you were to sell it yourself. But for many of us, it's a lot easier.
Right. I traded mine in when my car was so old and you know, it had been worn. I mean, but it, you know, it ran great. It had a wonderful repair record. And so those were pluses.
I wish I had known. I would have bought it
from you. Oh, man. You could have bought it for one of your kids, let me tell you. But it was really... That was my choice. I looked at what it was valued. Yes, they did give me less, but for me, it was worth it.
And that's true for most of us. And I think that, but it does point to one thing. If you are in the market for a used car, the best place to find one is from somebody you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
keep your eyes and ears open. You might have a friend, because you can always negotiate a good deal. You know exactly how the car has been treated,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to worry about any secret problems that aren't being disclosed.
Right. Okay, now, are there some other things that we need to cover about buying a new car? We need to look at the repair costs. We need to look at the safety. The safety is very important to me, and that's why I like the fact that you give scores to these vehicles as to how well they perform on this 10-point scale, I guess.
Yes, what's different about what we do, and I've been working with the Center for Auto Safety on this for a number of years, is if
Clarence
you look at
Ditlow's an old friend.
Ditlow, yes.
Oh, yes.
Very, very strong supporter of the car book.
Absolutely.
And the sales of the book by mail benefit the Center for Auto, nonprofit Center
Oh, do they
for
really?
Safety,
so. Oh, that's awesome.
But so what we did is we took a look at the government ratings, and they have the 5-star program. Well, almost every car available gets 5 stars. So it's really hard to
really?
Tell the difference. So what we did is we took the government data, we put it, as you said, on a 10-point scale, and we put the top 10% in the top and the top and the bottom 10% at the bottom, so you can see relatively how they perform against each other and truly pick the best performers.
Mm-hmm. I see that the Traverse did not get a 10. Now, it's not a perfect car, I bet it was gas mileage.
Well, it was gas mileage, and the other thing, though, it got an 8 out of 10 in terms of its overall rating.
Yeah,
so
and that's
it was
pretty
our
darn good.
It was our top choice in terms of our large SUVs, the Chevy Tahoe and the Chevy Traverse.
Right. And it was, it does like gas. It does like gas stations. We're very friendly with a lot of gas stations. But you know, I knew that. I knew beforehand that it wasn't going, because having driven it, we drove the rental one about 850 miles on that vacation, which was a very fortunate thing. So, but it was funny at first to get used to it. It was a little scary. Big car. Anyway. Okay. So we've basically covered the things. Now, let's answer the question of buy it or lease it.
Well, that's a good question, and more of us are faced with that question, because when you look at lease rates, they appear to be very inexpensive. However, in the long run, and we've run the numbers all kinds of different ways, it's always going to cost you more to lease than buy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really because you're, in effect, renting the use of a vehicle. The other thing about leasing is the sticker shock often comes at the end of the lease.
Mm-hmm.
If you've gone over in miles, you get a big charge. If there's excess wear and tear, they can charge you for that, and so forth and so on.
And, of course, you have to pay for repairs to that vehicle.
Yes.
And if it's a lemon, you still have to go through the same things to get it turned back in, right?
Absolutely. And so what I recommend, if it's a financial issue, rather than lease a car, buy a car that's a little less expensive.
Buy a used car.
Or buy a used car, exactly.
Which we're going to talk about. Exactly.
Exactly.
Right. And let's do used cars. I mean, we, as a matter of fact, I think you stated that right now, car purchasers, about 75% of them are looking for a used vehicle. And before we talk about that, let's just identify ourselves and let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jack Gillis, and we're talking about buying cars, new and used. And the used cars are a little tricky. You got to be careful because you don't exactly have the same safety net you do with a new car. But you can get some fabulous deals, because when you drive a new car off the lot, it immediately depreciates. So let's talk about buying used cars.
Well, you're right, Shirley. And you know, we estimate that by buying a used car, you save about 50% in ownership and operating costs.
Wow, that's a big deal.
For a number of reasons, one including that you don't have that depreciation like the first owner does. And secondly, it can be less expensive to insure. And many used cars today will be available with the remainder of the original new car warranty. Buying a used car today is not what it was years ago when it was buying somebody else's problems. There are plenty of used cars because of leasing programs, because of rental car company programs that are available and that are very good. The second thing about used cars is more and more of them are coming with their own warranties and their own checks. We think that certified used car programs, while not perfect, are a good way to make sure that the car has been checked out carefully.
And, you know, that's the key. I will tell you that at Call for Action, the largest number of complaints that we get is about used cars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. We were on just a conference call with our Call for Action directors around the country the other day, and they were saying that is the largest area of complaint for all of them. And I guess we're seeing an increase in those complaints simply because of the increase in the population that's buying used cars. So it's our job to help them get a better deal.
Right. And you can get a good deal with a used car. It requires more work, more legwork. And for the most part, the old adage of getting an independent mechanic to check that car out is still well worth the $50 to
$75. A certified mechanic or someone you know and trust
Not someone recommended by the seller of the vehicle. And if you put all that together, you can get a great deal.
And you can also go, there are some places you can go. There's a couple of services offered, one by, Auto Check by Experian and Carfax, which will let you can check out cars, find out the history. You can also go to, there's a government agency that does this.
Yes, NMVITIS.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure I can tell you exactly what it stands for, but you can go online, and if you search vehicle identification numbers, you will get to this government website, and you can put in the VIN number of the cars you're interested in, and if there's any information about that car that it's been salvaged or in a flood or something, it will show up. Now, caution. It's not perfect information.
No, it isn't.
So if it tells you something's wrong, that's good. If it says the car is perfect, well, you're not sure that there may be something that wasn't reported.
Right.
But it is a great thing to do.
Oh, it is, because it will cover a lot of cars. And, of course, we're hearing complaints about flood cars being cars that were caught in the floods in the Southwest or the wherever, right, and resold, cleaned up and sold without notification to the consumer.
Yes. That's a serious problem, and that's why that independent mechanics check is very important.
Mm-hmm. And you should listen, if an older car has any kind of a musty smell, run.
Yep, exactly.
Run from it.
Exactly. And I think that that's why if you go to a reputable dealer, you know, you'll be much better off than than a guy selling cars on the street corner.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way of selling cars by people, they call themselves curbstoners.
Mm-hmm.
And they find salvage vehicles or old vehicles, clean them up a little bit, and sell them as if they were selling their own car. But they're really kind of in a little business, and they keep moving these cars through.
And they kind of hide that fact from you.
So
I
think that you know, sticking with a name brand used car dealers, sticking with a full time dealer, and if you're buying a car from a dealership, one tip is buy the cars that dealership is selling. So if you're at a Ford dealership, look for the Ford used cars because they have better access to the repairs
parts
that may be
and services
needed
and sure.
to get that car fixed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing that concerns me is that so many consumers see a car, they fall in love with it, they buy it, and this can be a used car because it looks good. Well, it's what's under the hood, under the dashboard, it's under the trunk that you need to see. And it really needs to be, at least I think, put up on a lift so you can examine the underpinnings of the carriage to see if there's rust there. And that would show you signs of flood damage or salt erosion.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
And because most of us don't have a lift, that's why you've got to go to a mechanic.
That's right. I'm not about to do that out in my yard. I don't think I could do that very well. But so you really need to check it out. Take it to a mechanic. Do your research. And you might also go to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and check the recall history on this vehicle.
And remember, if it does have recalls, it's not the end of the world. In fact,
of course not.
Because the manufacturer has to repair those no matter how long ago that recall occurred.
But you need to check and see if and notify your mechanic to make certain that recall has been completed.
Right, exactly. And, in fact, that's good advice for any car owner, to regularly check with NHTSA, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
It's
because
free.
You may have missed a recall notice yourself for
your own
car.
That's right. It may have gotten misdirected in the mail or whatever. Well, my Traverse has only had a couple of minor things that had to be fixed on it, so it's been very good from that standpoint. Well, you know, okay, let's tell them how they can buy the car book. You can go online.
Well, you can go to Amazon.com and purchase the car book there, or also you can go to the Center for Auto Safety, which is autosafety.org, and purchase the car book from the Center for Auto Safety.
And I might tell you that Jack's organization is a nonprofit, and so we want to support nonprofits. We nonprofits. Okay, your website for CFA is
consumerfed.org.
Consumerfed.org. You can find information there as well.
Yes.
So, and do you have your own website, Jack?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm waiting to see if this internet thing is going to take off.
You think?
Yeah.
Give it a few more years.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, we'll make some kind of choice on it. But at any rate, it's the car book. It's really wonderful. Again, just give our viewers a little oversight as to what's in there that's going to help them.
So basically what we will do is we will guide you to the safest car, the car with the best maintenance cost, the best fuel efficiency, least expensive insurance cost, longest warranty, and fewest complaints.
Do you provide measurements on seat, you know, how much leg room there is for tall people like me?
Yes, we've even rated things like interior space, ease of parking.
Headroom.
Ease of parking, easy it is to maneuver that vehicle around. And all of the little nits and nats that are important to know once you start, before you plunk your hard-earned dollars down, which is going to be a lot of dollars this year.
And, you know, it's funny, those little things can make you dislike a vehicle, even though everything else is fine about it. But if there's some little things there that are really picking at you, it can make it a lot less pleasant. Well, Jack, thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Jack Gillis. He's the author of the car book, and he's the director of public affairs for the Consumer Federation of America. And I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.